The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, the 6th chapter of St. Luke, the 36th and the 40th verses. Jesus said, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." I often think that some of the most consoling passages in Holy Scripture can be found in the book of Psalms. I love some words we find in the 145th Psalm. "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works." His tender mercies are over all his works. And then there are those wonderful words we find in the 103rd Psalm. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Now, we never rightly understand anything in Holy Scripture until we see how it speaks of Christ. The book of Psalms was the prayer book of God's ancient people Israel, and therefore also the prayer book of Jesus, who would have heard the Psalms in the humble home of Mary and Joseph, in the synagogue and in the temple. And it was passages from the book of Psalms that came to his lips as he suffered and died on the cross. From the 22nd Psalm, the words, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And from the 31st Psalm, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." In fact, Christianly understood, the whole book of Psalms is a portrait of Christ, the one who unceasingly praises the Father, the one who lives in complete conformity with the Father's will, the one who suffers the hatred and hostility of those who hate the Father. In Jesus, we see the Psalms come to life, especially those marvelous passages in the Psalms which speak of the Father's tender mercy. For Jesus is God's tender mercy made flesh. In the Gospel for this Lord's Day, Jesus says, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. In these words of the Savior, we hear the echo of the 103rd Psalm, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. And then the Savior goes on to say, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. A disciple is a student. A disciple is one who follows a teacher. And we are disciples of Jesus. Jesus is God's tender mercy in the flesh. Jesus is the exact image and likeness of the Father, whose tender mercies are over all his works. And so if we're to be disciples, students, followers of Jesus, our lives too must be marked with the same kind of tender mercy. Now, nobody needs to be told that we live in a world where tender mercy and compassion are in short supply. The human story has been so much a story of the failure of mercy and compassion. And even we Christians come short in so many ways, not least when we sit in harsh judgment of other frail human beings like ourselves. How easy it is to see the speck that is in a brother or sister's eye while failing to see the log that is in our own eye. And this brings to mind some words of G.K. Chesterton, who is perhaps best known as the creator of the Father Brown mysteries. Chesterton was a layman, not a clergyman, but he was one of the more remarkable Christian witnesses of the last century. And when I read Chesterton, I almost never find myself disagreeing with what he has to say. But I do wonder about this. Chesterton once said of the incarnate Son of God, and I quote, "There was something he covered constantly by abrupt silence or isolation. There was some one thing that was too great for God to show us when he walked upon the earth. And I have sometimes fancied that it was his mirth." God's mirth. I wonder about these words of Chesterton because I believe that in the words of Jesus, we do on occasion see God's mirth. Just think of the picture Jesus paints in today's gospel to make the point that we frail human beings have no business judging other frail human beings. Jesus said, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself don't see the log that is in your own eye?" Just try to picture that. Try to picture that. And I think you might laugh at the absurdity of it all. When we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, we say that the eternal Son of God is the one through whom all things were created. And what do we see when we look at creation? We surely see some of the most astonishing, amusing creatures. God made all things, and God takes delight in all that he has made. God delights in you and in me enough to go to the cross for us. Truly, his tender mercies are over all his works. And so I want to end this morning with some words of the 19th century parson and poet Frederick William Faber, who sings, "For the love of God is broader than the measure of man's mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. There is welcome for the sinner, and more graces for the good. There is mercy with the Savior. There is healing in his blood. Amen. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with us all. Amen."